Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being with us here this morning. We thank you for filling our hearts and for filling this room with your Spirit as we worship you, and I pray that as you bring your message this morning, Lord, that our hearts would be touched. Amen. Each week I'm watching the Advent things being read and the candles being lit, and each week it gets a little more complicated because there's another candle to light, and the reading. You know, you read something, you light a candle. You read something, you light a candle. And I'm very impressed with John today because he got all four candles lit on one match and he didn't look like he burned himself too bad. So I'm a little nervous about Wednesday when we're supposed to do it. I might bring a lighter. I'm not sure. If you want to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. And we're not going to get into that right away, but we will. That's our scripture this morning. I realize it's not in the bulletin. And, you know, when I sit down to write a sermon, it's more of a waiting game than anything else. I sit and I pray. I said, Lord, please just write the words in my heart that you want to be spoken in the morning on Sunday because I don't want it to come from me. I don't want to have anything to do with it. Just write it on my heart. And when he does, sometimes it comes Saturday night. Sometimes it comes earlier in the week. But when it comes, sometimes it's like, oh, okay, that's good. That's really good. And sometimes it's, well, okay. Now, this week was kind of a, okay, I'm pretty sure this is what you want me to do. And then when Margaret shared with open worship, I just love open worship because I'm sitting there. And Margaret shared about where she saw God when she gave those gifts, what it means to be able to give that joy and happiness to people. And I'm like, you set this up. You know that. You set me up. So I want to talk about giving. And I think back to Christmases when I was younger, when I was... I'm still young, but when I was younger and living at home, and we would go to Grandma McCracken's on Christmas Eve every Christmas, and we would have soup. We'd have her famous bacon potato chowder, and everybody would eat that, and then Dad would eat the oyster soup because nobody wanted to eat that. We were all too young for that. And then we would go, and Grandma would give us something that she made. Like, we all have homemade quilts or special blankets or something. And so then we would go home, and my favorite time about Christmas is Christmas Eve and Christmas morning. Now, Christmas Eve, we didn't open up any gifts at home, and that's always been a good tradition, I think, because we had some gifts at Grandma McCracken's. We don't need to open our gifts, and I never liked it anyway, because sometimes my siblings would be like, Mom, can we open just one present? And she would say no, of course, but you spend all those weeks, and you put up the tree, and then you have the anticipation, and the presents start to go under as more people. When you've got a family of six, there's usually a lot of presents under the tree, you know, when if you make one or do something for everybody in your family, that's six people times six presents, you know, 36 presents under there. And then you've got grandparents and everybody else. So the presents pile up and you're looking at these, and as a little boy, you know, you organize the presents like every day, right? You pull them all out because you got to water the tree, and you pull everything out, even from behind, and then you separate and you pile, and then the next time you go by size of packages, and while you're doing it, you're kind of shaking and sliding. Ooh, that's heavy. I bet that's some sort of really cool tool or something. And all that excitement just builds. And then Christmas Eve, you guys know what it's like when you go to bed Christmas Eve and you're just so excited that you can't sleep and you lay in bed and Mom's like, you're not allowed to get up tomorrow until 6 o'clock in the morning. That doesn't work. And as a parent, I really like that now. You're not allowed to get up. But back then, you know, you wake up at 3:30 or 4 and you just can't sleep because you're so excited. And everybody would come into my room because we had two beds in there, and Jocelyn and shared a room, and Lucas and I shared a room. And one person would snuggle with Lucas and one person would snuggle with me, and we'd pull over those new blankets or quilts that Grandma made. And we'd turn on the lamps and then we'd try to be quiet, but we were never quiet enough. And you'd hear Mom's door open and she'd go, kids, be quiet. It's not 6 yet. And so we're in there talking about what we're going to get, and then finally 6 o'clock hits, and you just feel like you're going to explode. You just can't wait. And as soon as that clock hits like 55, and then you start counting down, and it takes forever, and then 6 hits, and you run out of there, and you run downstairs, and where you laid your stocking out the night before, now it was full of things, and you had some little presents around it. And I just remember feeling how exciting it was Christmas morning to go down and see what Santa Claus brought you. And then when the parents got up at 6 or 6:30, whenever we could get them out of bed, they would get up, and then we would pass out the presents, and we would open them up from youngest to oldest, and everybody would take a turn so everybody could see what everybody did for everyone, and then we would have breakfast. And that's my favorite thing about Christmas when I was growing up. And as you get older, I think the excitement changes a little bit. Now, being a parent, there's a whole lot more joy when you're wrapped in the presents. When last year, we got Tyler this little tricycle deal, and it had sounds on it, and you pushed a button, and the motor would rev, and it was a little play school thing, and we wrapped it up in this big box. I'm like, I cannot wait till he opens this. And when we videotaped it, and you open it up, and he's like, oh, whoa, boom, boom, you know, because he was only 1.5 or so, and he couldn't really say stuff, and he couldn't reach the pedals yet and everything else, but he was so excited, and just how good it made me feel when you watch your little boy open up a gift, you watch a child, or you give to somebody you care about, or you just give to someone who just receives it in such a way, it just fills your heart with joy, and it just overflows, and you feel so good, don't you? You just feel so good. So it changes when you get older. When I was younger, it felt so good to receive, and it was so exciting. And then as you get older, it feels so good to give something. Because when you give, you're not just giving something. You're giving something that you thought about. Maybe you've made it. There's love in it. And it's for somebody that you love. And just to see the happiness come out of that person, it reminds me just a speck of what God must have felt the night Jesus was born. Do we think about this? The gift that God created for us was his son, Jesus Christ. And he was created out of the deepest love. God was watching us. He was waiting to give us that gift that it's been prophesied about. You know, the star is up there. They're traveling. Mary's coming 9 months. God must just be bursting at the seams. He's like, get this baby out so we can celebrate. Because we're his children. Can you imagine how good it must have felt to watch your children receive your greatest gift? Turn with me into Luke 2, and we'll read verses 1 through 20. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census, and because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, he has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. In the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Man. How must that have felt when that gift was given and God knows this is the gift that's going to save my creation of man? Not only is this gift going to save creation of man, but to see the way that the shepherds respond when the angels told them, let's go see it. They're rejoicing. They're singing songs. How good must our Father have felt to see us receive the gift? And there's a reason why he sent Jesus to that place. And the shepherds, I feel, represent the people that belong to God. Because there's different people. There's the people who think they don't need God, and then there's the people who know they need God. Now, God sent Jesus Christ for everyone. But he knew that those shepherds would respond that way, just like a child does at Christmas. There's the gift. It's been prophesied. Here is our ultimate gift, and Christmas is only the beginning. Can we imagine how God feels every time a sinner is saved because they accept that gift? He didn't just give it once. As we experience the joy that we receive from giving this Christmas, let's be reminded of the love God has for us and the joy that we give Him when we accept His gift and the joy that He gets every time somebody accepts the gift that He gave us. Amen.